You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 904 on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. We never even got to, we got to the J.J. Watt and Deshaun discussion. We never even got to the rest of the guys. I don't know that this five, if you're looking at the Houston Texans, J.J. Watt, Laremy Tunsil, Whitney Mercilus, David Johnson, and Will Fuller, that's your top five paid guys? Where does that fall in the pantheon of pro football as far as where you're allocating your money? I mean, Laremy Tunsil's good. Is he the best left tackle in football? He's got.
I mean, he's probably top three.
He's top three. Yeah,
he's probably top.
But he's overpaid by $4 million to the next guy.
Sure.
Whitney Mercilus isn't even close to one of the top edge rushers in the game. Not even close.
Mm-mm. Not even close.
David Johnson's even further away from being one of the best running backs in the league.
He's a long way away.
And Will Fuller is a wide receiver one?
No, not even close.
Not even, yeah.
He's an injury-prone wide receiver
two. Well, and then we could keep on going. Bradley Roby is the next highest paid player. Where does he fall?
I mean, I think he's
was a good corner.
I think he's a good corner who had a bad year, he had a bad year in 18, proved it himself in 19. Yeah. You just have a lot of, look, if J.J. Watt and Will Fuller stay injured, if they do what they do, which is get injured, I just don't know how this team, I think the Colts are better with Buckner on that team, with Jonathan Taylor on that team, and frankly, they're better without Brissett and with Phillip Rivers. Even an older Phillip Rivers gives them a little extra juice. I think the Titans have figured out a winning formula for them. They're going to batter you with Derrick Henry. They got A.J. Brown, who's a good wide receiver. Tannehill is maybe the new Alex Smith. Maybe this is a rebirth. And they've got a pretty good defense.
They've got a really good defense.
And I think
they've taken on the personality of their head coach, too.
Yeah. And yep. I think Vrabel gets guys to buy in.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
And then after Roby, it's Nick Martin, who is a good center, but man, you're paying a center. If your center is your seventh highest paid player. Mm-hmm. I mean, the way that they've allocated this money with, first of all, overpaid guys and Whitney Mercilus and David Johnson, and, you know, your number one. I think the wide receiver group is going to be okay as a whole. Mm-hmm. As a whole, I think the wide receiver group is going to be okay. But you don't, obviously, anymore without D-Hop, you don't have anybody, any go-to guy. And Will Fuller. I mean, if you're going to make that argument about J.J. Watt, you better make it about Will Fuller.
No, you have to. Will Fuller is, yeah. Carlos Correa, Will Fuller, and J.J. Watt. Super injury prone over the last 4 years.
And Aledmys Diaz, don't forget him.
Aledmys Diaz, back. Aledmys is back. Yeah. By the way, are you excited about Robbie Ray and Matt Barnes, the two names that are bandied about for the Astros in terms of trade deadline today? Robbie Ray has a 7.
No, Robbie Ray is poor.
He has a 7+ ERA with a 2.0 WHIP. His worst numbers of his career. Matt Barnes with the Red Sox currently has a 1.62 WHIP with a 5.54 ERA. I mean, let's see.
That's what I was saying. These are the guys that they're going to bring in. They're not bringing in Verlander or Randy Johnson. Or this is what James Click has got, you know, to work with. He's not. Do you think Jim Crane is going to commit a 2-year, $33 million deal like he did with Verlander? No. This team is not. They're not doing that. First of all, you don't have the assets in the minor league system anymore. Secondly, it's a rent a player for a month.
Right.
This is going to be one of the weakest Look who went. Castro, Jason Castro moved. Mitch Moreland moved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is your trade deadline this year.
Right.
This is 2020 trade deadline.
Exactly.
And Matt Barnes? Goodness gracious. Robbie Ray and Matt Barnes. Man, Robbie Ray has been. Robbie Ray just a couple of years ago would have been. You would have had to give up the house for Robbie Ray.
Well, and the reason that they're so, one of the reasons they're so concerned is that, you know, they have bullpen issues, but also Brad Peacock, Dusty Baker said his velocity is not great. And I think there's a concern that Brad Peacock is not going to be a factor this year at all. And we know that bullpen is just not good enough. Now, if you pick and choose, if you can get to four guys you can rely on, that's fine. You know, you can work around that maybe, but you'd prefer five. But if you can get four guys you can depend on, see, here's the problem. There is no Garrett Cole. There is no Justin Verlander. Those guys were going into this. They were going through six for you. So you didn't have to, you know, and many times into the seventh, you didn't have to eat up a bunch of relievers there. Zach Greinke didn't eat up a ton of innings last year, so you did have to use your bullpen. But you had two guys. Out of your five starts, you knew two of them were going to eat up innings and pitch really, really well. You don't have that anymore. You got Fromber, who's pitching like that, but you know, you just don't know if you can believe in that. But Christian Javier, Lance McCullers, Urquidy is supposed to make his way back.
There's your trade deadline acquisition.
I don't even know why you would add Robbie Ray or Matt Barnes. At this point.
Robbie Ray in 2017 was 15-5 with a 2.89. Mm-hmm. He's 1-4 with a 7.84.
Look how many walks he has this year. It's staggering.
And this is what Arizona said. No, we're holding on to this dude. No, we got to keep Robbie. Oh, what a you! And again, you would have given up the house for that dude after 2017. Mm-hmm. And look at him. I mean, why would you acquire that? What for what reason? Maybe he's got a good spin rate and maybe Stromme can turn him around. Maybe that's what the thinking is.
Must be the thinking.
Well, maybe.
No, it's anytime they get a pitcher, they see something that they can work with.
That's right. Matt Barnes must be able to spin it.
Well, they can't be worse than where they're pitching right now.
No.
Ray and Barnes can't be worse.
And listen, the Arizona would probably be willing to just for a bucket of balls, you can take Robbie Ray. Just take his contract, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Because the Red Sox aren't in a good place.
No, the Robbie Ray.
Arizona. Well, same thing with Barnes.
I would, yeah. It would probably be,
If you're the Red Sox, you want to dump Barnes.
Well, are we hoping Urquidy takes Belak's place? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
If you bring in Robbie Ray.
Just stop saying Robbie Ray, the guy with the 2.0 whip who can't throw a strike. Just say Matt Barnes.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's more likely Barnes.
But bigger upside is Ray.
I guess.
If Stromme can turn around.
He cannot throw a strike right now.
I believe in Stromme. And Stromme I trust.
I do too, but Barnes has been better. I don't know.
Mm.
I don't think either one of them makes a difference, but it was nice seeing the Astros beat the A's, at least. They got their first wins against the winning team this year.
Yeah.
Took over the halfway mark.
That's a little misleading because when they beat Colorado, Colorado was a winning team.
What's Colorado doing now?
Well, they're losing now.
Yeah.
Right.
So those wins turned into...
Right. The Astros made them a losing team.
Well, but yeah, what you want to do is at the end of the year, look at how good teams are and how many wins did you have against the good teams. So far, you have two.
Yeah.
Two wins against good teams.
Mm-hmm.
I would not call Colorado a good team.
No.
They're a middling team.
But you may have demoralized them.
It's always possible.
Mm-hmm. That's not Robbie Ray. That's Reggie Ray and Ron Lester or something. What are you talking about, Tommy Stark? 913 ESPN 97.5. Hey, I want to know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Caliber Roofing. Those are my guys. Over at Caliber Roofing and peeps, this is a horrible, horrible time because guess what's coming? And it's going to be, this could possibly be the worst storm season ever. How is your roof? Is it ready for it? I mean, hey, all you people out there in Beaumont, were you ready for it? Or were you going, oh my gosh, is our roof going to be able to handle this? Well, thank God nothing happened, but you don't know that something is going to happen. And, oh, by the way, did you have any storm issues? And are you somebody that needs that has an insurance company that's looking at your roof? Do you have qualified people who know what they're doing and can convince the insurance companies that this was damage and not just roof use? So there are so many. Don't try to do this by yourself. And if you look up at your roof when you drive into your driveway and you see that there are some shingles missing, or you need to call these guys, because when it comes to nut cutting time in the storm season, you're going to say, man, I wish I had done this before. And if you, these guys, well, they're so good at it. And this is not the only thing that they do. They if you need gutters, you need painting, siding, decking, power washing, they do all of that. They only use the best Owens Corning roofing shingles. You can get affordable monthly payments with no prepayment penalties or home equity required. Call today for a free inspection. Call now, 713-823-9355. 713-823-9355 or 975roof.com.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome.
That's just sick.
However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with this. ESPN 97.5.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
Ew. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 917 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. The Astros take two from the A's. The A's chicken out. Say, oh, we got a COVID. We got to stop. If they move that game to Oakland, where, and can somebody explain this to me, why you couldn't play five games at home and five games on the road against every division opponent?
I don't know. Make it a five-game series?
Or you could, you know what? If they were worried about travel, then play five straight games in the hometown.
That's how I would have done it.
That's all. And then you go later in the season to their place and you play five straight games.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
That's the way to do it.
Well, we're worried about travel. Well, then do it that way.
Then do it that way.
So the team can stay at a place. And then, you know what? That's your home state.
I wonder if there was a thought that COVID could play a bigger role, same way it did early in the season with Miami, and that they didn't want to stick you with five straight games with a team that maybe had that issue. I wonder if that had anything to do with it. I think it's probably just, well, this is the way we've always done it. Three-game series. Occasionally four-game series.
Yeah, we can't.
No, it should have been five. Five?
Yeah.
And five.
Well, and you got, well, we didn't want teams going in for two games. Hello, every time you're playing, the American League is playing the National League, it's a two-game series. Because you're playing two there and two at their place. It's so dumb. I don't Major League Baseball. Giving the A's seven games at home against the Astros was a basic unfairness. There's a basic unfairness to that. And now you're probably going to make up that game when you go to Oakland for the final series. You're probably making up that game there too.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to play eight home games against the Astros, and the Astros got two against them. And what happened in those two games? Yeah. What happened to the three there and the two here? The home team won. So you're giving them that advantage of eight games, if in fact they have to do that. Now, they both have, I guess, looking at this, someone had mentioned that both teams, let's see the Astros schedule, they both teams have September 14th off. So do the A's. So the Astros could come back from Los Angeles and play them on Monday, September 14th here, and then Texas would come to town.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I bet you they don't do that, though. I think Major League Baseball might like, with no fans in the stands, they might like these seven-game doubleheaders, seven-inning doubleheaders.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah.
I tell you what.
First of all, you get it done. You get two games done in one day.
Do you think there's any chance of that going long-term?
No, because you got no. Because when fans are in the stands, you need all of that income. You lose. Doubleheaders were economically sound. They're great for fans, bad for players.
Because they're never scheduled. there's still two separate sets of tickets for them.
Yeah. Well, now, I mean, what they started doing with doubleheaders when they had to was a day and night. Clear everybody out and then come back. You got to come back in.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know that
in
they
theory,
will ever.
I love the 7-inning doubleheader.
Baseball just got. Doubleheader went, by the way. Doubleheaders is a thing of the past. Yeah. It's never happening again. Not with the salaries the way they are.
What do you mean it's a thing of the past?
Because, again, we used to go to doubleheaders all the time. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, one ticket for two games.
No, you can't. You just can't do it.
You can't do it. But you, when was the last time you saw a scheduled doubleheader?
Can you imagine trying to charge double for a doubleheader?
Yeah.
We're just going to double up your rates, so we need you guys to play double. What? I'm not going in.
Yeah, but even then, I don't know, your concessions, your parking.
Double up parking, double up concessions, yeah.
Well, double up concessions?
Yeah, I know. You don't get a double
$28 for a beer?
No, that's what I'm saying. You don't get a double up your concession. Right. You don't get a double up your parking. You don't get a double up your merchandise.
Right.
It's just too, it doesn't. Because money is so important, because money is the only thing, the only reason sports is played anymore is you have to get the money.
Right.
The guys own teams. Tillman Fertitta paid over $1 billion for a basketball team. He paid
$2 billion
because he eventually thinks it's going to make him money.
Yeah. Or he wants
the only way he can do that.
A lot of it is ego with owners.
Tillman Fertitta is not going to buy something that he thinks will lose money. That he won't do.
No.
Most businessmen won't. Not that kind of high dollar.
No. I mean, no. If it does, it's not economically sound.
Let me ask you something. What if in this crazy world where, what if Twitter people and social media people were right? What if, in theory, that fans go away from sports because of a combination of the protests, and it's just in theory. Let's say protests. And the pandemic has changed their idea of what
life is, right?
Because let's be honest, people reprioritize sports all the time. That's not new for somebody to say sports is a different priority for me. I was thinking about this on Friday, and when you see people say that stuff, and no one ever thinks anyone's ever being serious. I certainly don't for football, but I do wonder on basketball and baseball. And here's why: because I think the pandemic. We saw those crazy numbers for the NFL draft, but that was in April. That was still early on in the pandemic cycle. And people were hungry and desperate for something. The golf event with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, it wasn't good necessarily, but it drew viewers. But then we have not seen the same numbers that we were expecting for basketball or for baseball because everyone's supposed to be hungry for sports. And we thought ratings would be through the roof. Now people will argue, well, it's on at different odd times of the day and everything like that. But the numbers still have not been great, even on primetime showings. You know, it's not, John, as you get older, a lot of times when life starts getting in the way, you have kids, you get older, whatever, priority sports will take a lower, will finish lower on the priority scale for a lot of people. That's normal. That happens. It's quite normal. Well, let's say that things exacerbate it, where the pandemic has made people realize, I can live without sports. I lived without sports. Maybe I'm not as excited anymore. Maybe there's a group of people who don't like the social justice stuff. Maybe there's a group of people who they say, if I can't go to games and I can't afford it anymore, I don't really want to watch. Whatever the case may be, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that baseball and basketball, and to a lesser extent football, could take a hit based on 2020. And you expect that with older viewers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You expect that. But the hope is always, and what you've always counted on, is younger viewers come up and younger viewers continue the cycle. Older viewers tend to gravitate away from sports as they get older. And now even if it's exacerbated because there's a pandemic or maybe the civil unrest or the whatever's going on with Black Lives Matter movements with sports, it pushes some people out. the thought is always younger people are going to come up to fill that gap in. But the one concern I would have if I'm sports, just looking at this, and get your thought also, Dell, on this, is I do think, and this is not going to make sense to a lot of you, I understand this, and I wouldn't have said this if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes over the last 3 to 4 years. Esports is becoming a much bigger thing. It's becoming a much, much bigger thing for a lot of younger people. Younger people care about esports. I wonder if the same backfill of young sports fans is going to be the same for basketball, baseball, and football, just to use those three majors, that we've seen in the past. I think there is reason to believe that maybe the younger people coming up, the Zoomers, basically, may not be counted on the same way that sports can count on them. They may not have the money moving forward, the way it's going to move up to access it. And even if they do want to watch it, it may have to be through streaming mechanisms. Like, people are going to have to come up with new ways. I don't think advertising is going to be as lucrative for major broadcast companies as in the past.
Well, our young intern in here, his school has an esports team. So he knows all about how popular that is.
Rockets obviously have one.
While you were talking, I was thinking to myself, my team's in the second round of the playoffs. They got the Bucks tonight, or 5:30 Central Time here. And I'm like, I'll watch, but I'm not locked in. Like, I'm not so excited to watch this game. I'm trying to figure out.
Why is that?
I don't know. It is not the protests. I mean, no, that doesn't bother me at all. I'm just trying to figure out what it is.
Does it not feel like a real season? Is your body clock off?
Is that what it is? I'm trying to think, will the college football season reignite sports for me? Will that be it? I mean, I watched the Central Arkansas Austin Peay. When Miami kicks off against UAB on September 10th, will that be the catalyst? I'm not sure.
I'm interested, but I haven't had it. I hadn't had the fire just
now. We kind of have it because of what we do for a living.
Yeah,
but I think a lot of people were like, you know what? I don't know that it's that horrible without sports.
That's a concern.
You know, it is.
And
a
that's
real...
what I'm concerned about is that people may be underestimating. Okay. Yes, I do think when people say they're disgusted by whatever and the walkouts and all that
right,
stuff,
all that.
There may be some people who leave because it's easier to leave now. And maybe it'll be football too, because it's easier to leave because the pandemic has showed them that maybe they don't have to have it.
Yeah.
Now maybe that's a 1 or 2 year cycle or something like that. I'm kind of with you, Dell. It's weird, but I think it's because it feels like these are just not normal sports years. And maybe it's... And even with college football, it's not going to be a normal sports year. There's no way around it. We got a bunch of opt-outs. Big Ten's not playing, Pac-12. Well, Big Ten may come back around Thanksgiving, but something came out again that said, nope, it'll be January. Which January for Big Ten will be an interesting start date. We've talked about that.
I can tell you that. I don't care about the Big Ten not playing. It doesn't bother me so much. I think maybe as much as I like the setup for the NBA – is it because there are no fans in the stands that the emotion is sucked out of it? I'm not sure. The true test for me is, like I said, it'll be Thursday night. Now, the Texans and the Chiefs will be playing, but they'll be about, jokes aside, about the crowds at Miami games. There'll be about 20,000 people there or so, and they're going to be playing UAB. De'Aaron King's the starting quarterback. New spread offense. If I'm not locked in that, then apparently I'm done for the year as far as sports are concerned.
There's going to be a chance that people are done for the year. That's the concern, is that they'll watch, but it's not going to be as passionate. I think people are going to watch college football. Pro football is the one sport, because there have been opt-outs, but not the major opt-outs. I think pro sports, NFL, I should say, they have a chance. I think because there's fantasy football, which gets you re-engaged in the sport, as long as they don't have major outbreaks. And I talked to somebody with the team this week, and I said, how are y'all doing with testing? Zero test. Zero positive test. Same thing. I said, are you test every other day? Nope. Every day. And I heard they were going to go to every other day. They're getting tested every single day. They're not having positive tests, at least for this particular team. And they get the results at they didn't have any of the negative. They didn't have any issues with the testing that 7 other teams had or whatever it was. With the false positives, every morning between 3 and 4 in the morning, an email comes to our email, shows our results, and they said it's business as usual for them. Right. Everyone is they've been very happy with how everyone has taken it serious.
All right, 9:30 ESPN 97.5. Yeah, we're going to talking to the Astros. Iskowski pointed out there are which was dumb. You do play 3-game series against some National League teams instead. And again, Major League Baseball, it's not that hard. 60 games. 4 to other teams in your division. You play them 10 times, 5 at home, 5 away. You play 2 games at each National League park, and they play 2 games at your park. That's 60 games, but they had to screw that up. And it's imbalanced, and it's unfair the way that they did this thing. And just another example. But the Dodgers came in here twice, you go to the Dodgers twice. The Colorado came in here twice, you go to Colorado twice. But for some reason, we got 6 against Arizona and only 3 against the Padres and 3 against San Francisco. Dumb. Because you're giving an unfair advantage to teams that have to play tougher teams more. Anyway, it was an unfair advantage against Arizona that they had to play the Astros 6 times while they play other teams in the division, lesser teams in the division, less. That's dumb. 931 ESPN 97.5. I want to talk about Coors Light. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing. It's made to chill, baby. The mountains are blue. You can tell when it's cold because the mountains activate. Coors Light is the official beer of going golfing, just to drink beer, of drinking in the shower, of Saturday morning. You don't know. You might need a beer Saturday morning to watch a football game. Starts at 11. What are you going to do? You need a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. And it's keeping Texas chill. Here in Texas, we kick back. We know how to take things from good to super good. We know good brisket, most of the time, is smoked over mesquite, but a great brisket is sitting next to Coors Light, baby. Did you know on August 23rd, 1978, the first 23,000 cases of Coors Light were shipped to a distributor in Texas? Texas was the first state to receive Coors Light. Specifically, Willow Distributing in Dallas. That's okay. Grab 12 ounces of chill. Grab 16 ounces of chill. Grab a 12-pack. That's 144 ounces of chill. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 934 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to hang with us on ESPN 97.5. I think football will change things for us. I do. I think football is going to say when football comes back, when pro football comes back, and is it going to look? Does basketball really look all that different to you guys?
No.
What do you mean?
I was with a guy that said, "Oh, it looks like AAU basketball to me."
No, I just
you can't see the fans anyway when
played
you're
a larger facility. But I think the level of look.
No. I mean what the look of it is.
Well, you know, they're larger facilities, and it's.
But you can't. But you're only seeing the 10 guys on the court anyway.
So I do think the camera angles are slightly. They even said they'd be a little bit different. I think.
The low angle. I love that sideline camera.
I actually like that too.
Yeah.
I wish they'd use it a little more.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know about AAU. I think you just know. You don't see people around the sidelines. You can tell. You don't have to see the fans. When you go out of bounds, there's a lot more room out of bounds. So you can see that. So, yeah. I think it's I can see where some people feel like. And look, you had a break. This isn't what our body clocks are used to. Fantasy football drafts, college football season ramping up, and the NFL season getting ready to ramp up. We're supposed to be talking about preseason games right now. We're not supposed to.
Whoa,
in Astros baseball.
The preseason games will be over
right
now,
right? Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be talking about Garrett Cole.
Yeah. No. Why Garrett Cole?
Jose Altuve. Is he going to get to 300 hits this year? It's different. wow, I can't believe the Astros are doing
it again.
At
this rate, Jose Altuve will get to 300 hits in 2024.
Are the Astros ever going to pull the trigger on a closer? What are they going to get before trade deadline? Now it's like Robbie Ray and Matt Barnes.
This would be the wouldn't this be the waiver wire deadline at this point?
Do they still have that? That's right. We're way past that baseball.
Altuve had two hits in his last game. Two out of four.
I know.
He's getting there.
Two out of four. Oh, no. At this rate, Altuve is going to have 1,000 hits this year. Two out of four?
Yeah. He's heating up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, look at the games before that, though.
It was only one game.
Look at the games before that.
He's at 211, John. Look at his game log. The hits are coming.
211. I predicted 300, though, by the end of the month.
Well, good luck with that. I didn't predict that. You did.
LSU Brian is here. What's up, LSU Brian?
What's up, guys? Hey, I just wanted to, I'm not sure if y'all saw here, like within the last couple hours, Jaguars let go of
Fournette. Yep, we talked about it. Leonard Fournette.
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. What do you want to say about it?
Well, I mean, of course, as a Tiger fan, he hadn't done what I don't think anyone's expected since college. But I mean, he's a productive back. He's been hurt, but I'm just curious. I know he's had issues behind the scenes. I'm not real sure exactly what people around the league think of the personal stuff. So I just want to get y'all's opinion. I didn't quite hear if y'all had already talked about it.
As far as Leonard Fournette maybe coming here?
No, he wanted to hear what people thought of him around the league.
I think
honestly, they think he's a diva.
Diva, and I don't think he's the hardest worker.
Nope. He wasn't
perception of him
by the coaching staff from a coaching standpoint. They let him do some stuff at LSU.
Diva, maybe a little. I don't know about temperamental, but maybe I don't know if he plays through injuries, all that.
That was a concern.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All that much. He has not been nearly as good as advertised.
I don't think Leonard Fournette is going to have an eighth year in the NFL. He won't last that long, I don't think.
Somebody's going to grab him now, though, that could use.
Yeah. I mean, the guy ran for 1,100 yards last year. When he's focused and he's taking pictures of himself without a shirt on and he's in good shape or whatever, when he's focused, I mean, Leonard Fournette is not a quick-cut guy. He's more of a freight train. So if he plays like a freight train and gets into that Derrick Henry mindset, there still is. I mean, I still think he has value without question. But he's got to be ready to work at it all the time. He's got to be coachable, and he's got to be healthy. And if those things are true, then I think he does have a chance. I think he does have a chance to help somebody. And he might, it's going to be interesting to see how these guys perform outside of Jacksonville, because it felt like a cancer in that whole team. Did you see that? Somebody sent it to us, the roster from the 2017 Jaguars, and they put a red mark through everyone who's gone. It's unbelievable how many guys are gone. But maybe a change of scenery is something that will wake him up. Maybe that's something that will help him, get to where he needs to be. Who's a team that you think could use a running back? Who do the Saints have?
Kamara, obviously.
Well, I know, but Kamara needs that Mark Ingram. I think Kamara needs another guy to handle.
I mean, the Saints would be a perfect spot for him, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I feel like the Saints, although you might want to get him away from home. I mean, for a lot of guys, you don't want them around people who can, be around, to take their focus away and their energy away. Sometimes that can be a concern. From a football-only standpoint, I want to look here because I can't remember who New Orleans added at running back. It's Kamara, Latavius Murray, Ty Montgomery. I mean, I think he'd be great over there. Latavius Murray handles that heavy lifting too.
Latavius Murray's good.
So I don't know about that. But I could find a team for him fairly quickly, I think. Because all you want to do is find a team that's missing a banger. You know who he needs to go to? Dolphins. Dell needs him.
Why do we need him? We already got Jordan Howard, Max.
You know who could use
Jordan Howard,
and Matt
Breida.
We don't need Leonard Fournette.
And you know who could use him is Arizona.
Playing this
Arizona.
Year?
Yes.
Kenyon Drake?
Actually, Arizona could use him.
Yep.
Arizona could use him. What about the Eagles?
Miles Sanders?
Yeah, but and they got Boston Scott, who's a third down guy. But you know what? Corey Clement is just a guy. I don't think the Miles Sanders, they really like Boston Scott, though. So I don't think they want to give up on that. But he'd be interesting over there with Philadelphia. What about Washington football team?
Well, Adrian Peterson and
Antonio Gibson. That's the spot.
Yeah, Darius Geis is gone.
Maybe have a spot for another LSU guy that
doesn't do that stuff.
Maybe isn't always coachable.
Or
it doesn't do that stuff.
Doesn't do that stuff that Darius Geis does.
He's accused of.
But now those guys are boys. He and Geis are boys.
I wouldn't be broadcasting that for the next couple.
I ain't got nothing to do with nothing.
Well, I know. I don't think you want to be associated with Darius Geis right now.
What about Steelers?
James Conner, yeah.
Did Conner opt in or out?
He's in.
Okay.
He's in.
Bengals have a lot going on here. You know, there's not a lot of teams now. You could say Chiefs.
Ooh.
Along with Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Who's their backup right now?
Two LSU guys, more LSU running backs. The backup right now is Darwin Thompson.
Yeah, but I think
Elijah McGuire, thumbs down.
I think they love Edwards-Helaire.
You can love him as much as you want. It's about having a second back.
Oh, do you think?
That's actually a good spot. You got a strong locker room. You've got a leader at quarterback. You got another LSU guy at running back.
You would think he would come.
You take the pressure off the rookie, too.
And you could, you'd limit his snaps. But you think he wouldn't be a problem if he's got limited snaps? Because Clyde Edwards-Helaire is on the field on third down, too. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is great on the
backfield.
I'm
only going off the football fit.
Well,
I think the football fit is
But how about the personality fit not playing? Because, quite frankly, I'd rather have Clyde Edwards-Helaire on the field.
And, you do make a pretty good point. That you have Eno Benjamin, Chase Edmonds, Kenyon Drake. I mean, those three, I think. But Eno Benjamin was a seventh-round pick. You could cut him and stash him on practice squad. Over there in Arizona, that could. Now, how does he pass protect? That's going to be a question. I think Kenyon Drake is more made for,
You add a power running game with D-Hop on the outside and Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk. I mean, you add that power running game to it, too? I think that'd be a nice fit. 944 ESPN 97.5. You want to make a little wager on the games? Hey, the football season is only 10 days away. And actually, it started with Central Arkansas winning. They won by 7, right? So they covered. They were a 4-point and then 5-point favorite. And they covered. When Austin Peay had all those guys with COVID, and that's all. That was easy money. Well, my bookie had the odds right there. You could have gotten Central Arkansas 4. You got Major League Baseball, NBA, soccer, UFC, golf, NASCAR, and here comes football. College football's here already, and here comes the NFL. MyBookie has thousands of bets you can play, lines on games, props inside the games, live in-game betting, futures bets, even odds on the country's election. That's right, November 4th. With MyBookie, it's simple. You bet, you win, they pay. Join today. MyBookie will double your first deposit. Just enter promo code radio. Make sports more interesting. Now, there's a way to make it more interesting. You will watch sports if you got a bet on it. MyBookie.ag. Remember, promo code radio. You bet, you win, they pay. MyBookie.ag. Promo code radio.
ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
By the way, odds of Leonard Fournette coming here, we're seeing some. Justin, Bill O'Brien's not trading Deshaun Watson for Fournette. First of all, he's a free agent. You don't have to trade for him.
And he doesn't have any first rounders to give.
Yeah, well, you don't have to. He's a free agent. You don't have to give up. Bill O'Brien's not like, hey, who's on the free agent wire? Let me give up a first rounder for.
You don't think somebody would pick up Leonard Fournette to try to get Deshaun on a one?
No.
To flip that house?
No, they're not giving up. Listen, we can. Well, I don't.
They're just jokes.
I'm not putting anything past what Bill will do with his first round picks. If you want to know the truth, but. Leonard Fournette to Houston? No, sorry.
Who would you rather have? David Johnson? Now, let's just say Leonard Fournette is a little bit of a problem. We'll just say that. Would you rather have Leonard Fournette?
He's so not a Bill O'Brien guy.
7 million. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But I think he's better than David Johnson, potentially.
Yeah. No, I think he's better than David. He ran for 1,100 yards. David Johnson hasn't run for 1,100 yards in 7 years.
I don't think he's running 11 games for 7 years.
Yeah. I mean, come on. That's not even... Not even arguable, but we know the Texans are giving David Johnson $13 million, okay? So you can stop with your, oh, David Johnson can't play, because the Texans are proven he can play. They're giving him $13 million. Gosh, how many times do we have to say this? How dumb is everybody? This is what we do. It is what we do, okay? We give up draft picks and we overpay guys who haven't played since 2015 or 16 or something. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. So Auburn's having some issues, huh, Dahl?
Yeah, they missed multiple practices last week. Some of that was to do with COVID, and then some of it had to do with their players wanting to meet and talk about what's going on in this country. But 16 guys in quarantine, 9 tested positive, 7 were around them, so they had to go in quarantine too. And the SEC's rule is apparently 14. Yeah, even if you don't test positive and you're around someone who did, you get 14 days in quarantine.
Contact trace, yeah.
And you can't test out of it. Like, you can't give them 7 straight negative tests. They still stay in that, stay for 14 days. So Auburn's without 16 players. Now they have like 122 players on the roster, so they're going to try to find a way to practice starting on Tuesday. But if it hits a position group, it's going to be rough. We know LSU only had 4 healthy offensive linemen. And the Big 12 and the SEC are working on something where, as far as games are concerned, they want you to be able to have 53 eligible players. That should probably include walk-ons. We'll see. But the real big thing is, what if COVID affects a position group? So they're trying to figure out how many players at a certain position do you have to have before you cancel a game or postpone a game.
I don't know if NFL teams are doing this, but they had been talking about keeping their second quarterback away from the first quarterback and really keeping them separate from the whole team. I doubt that that's happening, but I know that was one of the discussions, was about keeping your backup quarterback completely away from everybody, basically putting them in isolation. But I don't see why
you should put your starting quarterback away from
everyone.
When you
have daily testing, it's not. Yeah, I know. Exactly. Mm-hmm. When you have daily testing, it just hasn't been an issue in the NFL. Guys aren't being stupid, and there's daily testing.
Yeah. If I was a position coach, I mean, your position meetings, okay, we need bigger rooms. Everyone is separated all the time, and that's it. Everyone is separated all the time. And so we're not sitting together for any amount of time. What is the rule if you're within 6 feet for 10 minutes?
I thought it was 6:15, whatever it is.
I'm just talking about the general rule. You can't be around some. If you're within 6 feet over 10 minutes, then you're more likely, most likely. The SEC says.
I don't know what they determine in contact with someone who tests positive, but they have a certain amount of time and a certain amount of distance, and if you fall within that, you get stuck in a quarantine for
14 days, despite what, even if you don't have it.
Yeah.
Even if you don't have it, which is kind of ridiculous, though. It is, really. If you test negative 7 straight days, you let the kid out.
And going forward, what are they going to do? Like I said, the Big 12 and the SEC are going to have rules in place. Also, a lot of the conferences are moving up to the 3 times a week. Conference USA just announced they're going 3 tests a week, and then they also are going to have an antigen test right before the game. So we're seeing conferences go from the 1 test per week before game week start to everyone's kind of getting on that three times a week thing.
How about the Conference USA is doing that and the Big 12 is sitting?
Big Ten is sitting, rather.
And the Big Ten is sitting there watching Conference USA get through this and test three times and spend the money while the Big Ten says we're not doing it?
Well, the Big Ten hasn't explained to anyone their reasoning, really, and that's the biggest issue. That's why kind of Nebraska kids are suing them. What was your reasoning behind it? Because even the thing you allegedly cited has been torn apart by people already. So we'd like to know what you pointed to and when you made this decision, because some people believe they had made this decision maybe a month before they had to, even before the initial cancellation, and they had kind of seen the numbers go in a way they didn't want them to go, so they made a decision. While you look across the country in certain areas, the steadily positive tests are going down. So it all adds to the thought, why didn't you just wait? You see, Conference USA is testing three times a week. Maybe that has something to do with the accessibility of the saliva test or a different test that comes back quicker. We see innovations in the testing continue to grow and make it easier and cheaper for people to test. Why didn't you just wait? What was the rush? Why did you have to make a decision August 11th?
Yeah. No,
I haven't heard anything about Saliva Direct, what the rollout looks like. I've been trying to search around for it. I still can't find it. And they acted like it wouldn't be hard to get it going, but I'm still not finding it.
Yeah, I'm not sure how long it'll take. But we talked about last week the at-home kit that's going to be put out there for like maybe $15 per test. So as innovations keep happening, the Big Ten just looks worse.
I did a blood test this weekend that's if I had the antibodies, but it also said whether or not I was fighting it right now, and they both came back negative.
Oh.
Yeah.
How long did it take to get the results back?
10 minutes.
See?
That's fast.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we're going to have all of these. We're going to have a bunch of innovations. This is going to probably, by the new year, but Big Ten, man, you look terrible.
Yeah.
And you look terrible.
And a team in your own footprint, Notre Dame, who you are closely associated with because of all the games you play against them in the past, they're not only playing, they're going to have fans in the stands. Now, only 20% of capacity, and they've limited to students, faculty and staff, and parents. So no one outside of that – so a season ticket holder, you're out. General admission, out. They're limiting the people who can show up to games.
You know students, though. They're all going to be in one section.
I don't know how you what you're going to do about that.
What are you going to do?
I guess you just say, everybody, we're going to have a hall monitor up there. And you know
they're not – none of them are family. So only family, you know, the parents and siblings are actually related. Anyone else who is sitting together should not be sitting together.
I imagine there'll be a giant student section, bigger than normal, since you have less fans, and they all are going to have to be socially distant.
I tell you what happened with snacks. We went to church for the first time last Sunday.
Oh, your church was open?
Yeah. He's looked around. Me and Snacks and Mason, we were standing up back in the back. My wife and two of the kids were there. And Snacks is literally making accounting of everyone who's not wearing a mask. Like, He's like, yeah, guess what? There's somebody right behind Mom. This is what he did. I saw him go march over and start. And all I can see is his head moving as he's chewing out his mom, his brother, and his sister. And I said, would you? And his mom, so Nicole turns around and looks at me. And I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah, guess what? We're quarantining them now. Monty just touched one of the books. She doesn't even know who's had their hands on that. There's no way they've cleaned it since the last mask. So, yeah, she's out. All of them are quarantined now. And then they went up. Like, we're sitting back, go up for communion. Like, nah, I'm staying back. People, there's some people there. Not the vast majority, but people up going without a mask for communion, coming back. There's no mask. They're not wearing masks. They're clearly anti-maskers. And Snacks is just not having it. He's just like, he said, well, that does it. Because they're standing around them. So I don't want to hear anything about them getting close to us at all. We need to stay away from them. I'm riding with you, Dad. Let's go. And he's like, wants to go. And then we got banh mi sandwiches together. You know, it's what happens when people who are, you know, who are actually trying to self-quarantine, we get to have banh mi sandwiches. But this last time, so I got into church a little late. I came separate. I go back. I find them. And there everyone's sitting. Snacks is in the back. Back behind everybody. I said, what are you doing back here? He goes, you think I'm going to sit by all these people with potential coronavirus who don't even have masks? Nope. I'm not doing that. I'll just quarantine from the family again. I'm like, all right, Snacks. Gotcha. And then, you know, it goes away. Like, as soon as we get home, he's yelling at everybody. And then, like, 40 minutes later, he's outside playing one-on-one basketball against his brother and making outfits for his wrestlers. He's got these wrestling action figures, and he paints them. Like, he turned one into a Buzz Lightyear. It's like, it's actually, I'm like, wow, that's actually pretty good. I don't really like this. This is your skill, though. Is
what?
Changing wrestling action figures.
That's his superpower, being able to paint body suits on action
figures?
He's
a small 12-year-old designer. Not explosive.
Is he going to be a designer?
Maybe a costume designer.
Was Gianni Versace?
I don't think he's Snacks,
Snacks Versace.
I don't know.
Be a great name, Snacks Versace.
Snacks Versace
is a pretty good name.
No, this isn't bad. That isn't bad at all. 9:59 ESPN 97.5 Absolute Marble and Granite. That's what we're talking about now. Head Jeff over at the new place and working on what exactly we're going to get, what we're going to do at the new place, replacing the whole stove area, the countertop beneath it as well, and the outdoor kitchen too. We're going to get that job done because it's just not, it's not up to snuff. It's not up to Jeff Aronoff's snuff. He was like, oh yeah, we'll take care of this. We'll get this job done. And you know what? That's the first call that you make, and the first call that you make if you need, you know what, new countertops or patio or outdoor kitchen, or you know, you're building a room, and he can take care of a bar area, refrigerator, everything, all of those things. He can take care of you, and he can build in the cabinets. He can build in the countertops. He does it all. If you've got a big job, no small jobs. If you've got a big job, Jeff Aronoff is here for you at Absolute Marble and Granite. 713-880-2822. Tell him you heard it right here on ESPN 97.5. And get your 20% off. 713-880-2822. Tell him you heard it right here.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.